Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, on the scene as Ticats training camp gets underway, signing a 2-year contract. Those reports started to come down, Bruce, on Saturday. I think it was Albert Breer or something who had it. Sources tell me Johnny Football is at the Canadian border in Buffalo securing a work permit. And then all hell broke loose. And it's official. He's here, and we'll see how much he plays and whether he can be an effective CFL quarterback. Matt Schinetti has had his long weekend turned into a long working weekend by this breaking news, and he joins us now. What's up, pal?
Well, boys, I don't think I want to tell the OPP live on your show how fast I was going to Hamilton once the news broke, but it was a pretty exciting day, to say the least. I mean, you know, having had a few days to digest this, the writing was on the wall. All indications were, talking to the Ticats ahead of their minicamp, which was late March, that this was an inevitability. But to see Manziel on Saturday, and then especially yesterday, first day of training camp, albeit throwing against air, probably the most interesting chapter, not only the Ticats, who have had some interesting chapters over the last few years, but a very interesting chapter in the Canadian Football League. And it's an eternal struggle to get some attention, especially in Southern Ontario. Johnny Manziel is going to bring that. Whether or not he amounts to anything is all up to him. And the one takeaway I have after these past 2 days is there's a conviction and a purpose that I wasn't sure I would see, but so far from what I've heard from Manziel, it's all indications are this and these 2 years mean something to him.
Well, and regardless of anything else, Matt, I think we're all cheering for this guy to have his life back on track. And it sounds like that's the case. I mean, this is somebody who just a couple of years ago had his father predicting that he wasn't going to make it to his 24th birthday. So if he's in a better place, That's the most important thing. What is your understanding of how all of this came together? You talked just now about March and their mini camp and whatnot. Johnny had set that end of January deadline. If we don't get something done, I'm going to look at other options. He went on to look at other options, yapped about the spring American League that's being put together. How is this sort of tracked over the last 3 or 4 months?
Well, just to give you kind of a, maybe not an exact chronological order, but from the time that he held yet another pro day at Texas A&M at College Station a few months back in the start of 2018, the Ticats were there. They were very patient. And one of the things about the Ticats over the last year is there's been some questions about who's making decisions. And, you know, there's a long time, there's CFL lifers there, guys like Eric Tillman. And then there's a very experienced scouting staff and guys like Drew Alamang and Sean Burke and Ken Austin, when he was still in the capacity of director of player personnel, now he's a consultant. And they were all very calm about this. They were going to let Manziel do what he was going to do. And then, of course, his agent, Eric Burkhart, came out and talked about Manziel getting the same amount of money as Zach Collaros was making last season, the starting quarterback for the Ticats in 2017. Which was roughly $500,000. What ended up happening was the Ticats made some roster moves that gave them a certain amount of cap space north of $250,000, which allowed them, in the event that Manziel was going to come, that they had the cap space. Now, another thing that ended up happening was there was some discussion that Manziel and his representatives were trying to get the league and their minimum required contract for rookies, which is 2 years, halved, so that Manziel would only have to play essentially in the CFL for 1 year and then explore any opportunities in 2019. The league wasn't going to budge, and especially after all the things that they had made Manziel kind of appease them with and jump through, they weren't going to go ahead and throw him a bone by basically, you know, telling other guys like Argos running back James Wilder, who wanted just a 1-year contract so he can go see, could go explore the NFL. They weren't going to do that for Manziel. So when that happened and the Ticats in a very cozy position with the money they wanted to get pay Manziel, all with all their ducks in a row, eventually, as Manziel said on Saturday, he wanted to play football. He didn't want to sit around for another year and basically wait until next January for a for an opportunity on the field that may or may not happen. And whatever anybody else thinks of the CFL, after, you know, the NFL, the CFL's right there. You're not going to go play in some weird, you know, spring league as Mandel was in some far off state. You're going to play where, if it's not the NFL competition, the next best thing is the CFL competition. And over the next couple of days, we will see how he acclimates to the Canadian game, because yesterday, as I said, he wasn't throwing against any defenses. But this isn't his team. It's Jeremiah Masoli's team. That's the starting quarterback. And he really, at this point, Manziel, has to prove to the locker room that he's not bringing extra attention, has to prove to the coaching staff that he can read the playbook and digest it. And also, I think he's got to prove to the people of Hamilton that he's buying into this, because that's a very proud community. It's a very proud team. And they're a lot looking for a guy just to set up shop and use this as some kind of pit stop. And again, Manziel's saying the right things. He said he's in this for the long haul, although 2 years really isn't a long haul. But he said he didn't expect to be here when he was in the green room a few years ago for the NFL draft. Well, he's here now, and he's got to work.
Matt, when we look at Johnny Manziel, there's a lot of questions I have about whether this is going to work out. As much as it's flashy and fun and maybe the league can sell it, there's a lot of questions. And to me, the number one, competitively, just as in terms of football, is given the way his management tried to make it a one-year deal, which basically says, I'm going to the NFL my first opportunity because I'm Johnny Manziel. And given the way he asked for top-drawer money, even though he's never proven a thing in this league and very few American quarterbacks who've come to the CFL have right away. You know, regardless of what he's saying, is there any indication that Johnny Manziel has an understanding that this league is not easy for an American quarterback to step into, much less one who hasn't played in 2 years?
Bruce, it's a great point. I mean, on the field and off the field, there are a lot of questions, but chief among them, you know, you can look as early as last year in terms of the Vince Young fiasco of a guy who basically came up here and thought that maybe Josh Freeman in Montreal is the same way, but Vince Young came up here and basically said, well, you know, I'm looking to get back into the game. He was so many pounds overweight, didn't have any idea of what he was getting himself into, and didn't understand the athleticism required to play in the Canadian Football League. The one thing about Johnny Manziel, when I asked him that exact question yesterday about what he was going to do, what challenges presented themselves to him, incredibly articulate. This is a guy who is a football junkie, and yeah, you know, I'm around CFL quarterbacks all the time. It's what I do during the summer, and I know this game very well, and Johnny Manziel was talking to me about man coverages and how it was very similar to the NFL, but that extra man, that 12th man, provided some kind of liability that he had to account for, and that zone coverage was so different in the Canadian Football League, not just because of the waggle and the motion of the receivers, but also because of just how defenses could disguise what they were doing and the stunts that they could make on the defensive line. And he was saying all this stuff, and I was like, yeah, this guy, at least from what he's saying, he gets it. Now, whether it's talking and acting are two different things, because I've seen a lot of American quarterbacks who, and heard a lot of American quarterbacks who talk the same way, talk in X's and O's, and all of a sudden they're in the shotgun and they don't necessarily pick up a certain read and they're flat on their backside. Manziel is going to need to show that he can deal with the width and depth of the field, because another thing that Americans have trouble with is when they start throwing across their body, across the field to the wide right side, the ball takes forever to get there. And they usually either put cork too much into it or they don't put enough into it, and they're picked off pretty easily. But Manziel, as I said, is a football junkie. He loves this sport, but I have to see it in order to really give a clear indication if he's going to buy in.
Yeah, that one thing you mentioned, like that 40-yard out that you have to throw in the CFL, just looking at his arm, without knowing anything about how he can read, how strong, like you've seen a lot of quarterbacks, you know a lot of quarterbacks, how strong is did the arm look?
I will tell you, and we've talked about this, you and I, Bruce, a few times, just in terms of quarterbacks. You know, the size of their hands is really a clear indication. Johnny is about my size, so about 6 foot, just over 6 feet, and about 100, and you know, 185, 190. His hands were twice the size of mine, and I thought I was going to lose my forearm when I shook his hand. And when he threw the football, there was a zip on it. There was accuracy on it. It wasn't the Henry Burris knuckleball that we've seen where it kind of wobbles in the air, even though it's flying in the air over 50 yards. This had intent. It had purpose on it. And just his motion when he was going back to pass, it would look very smooth. And even though it was just throwing against air to receivers in very basic routes, the way he was trying to, his command, the cadence that he was using, this is a guy who, whatever you want to say about, and there are so many questions about the off-field stuff. This is also a Heisman Trophy winner. He played in the SEC. It is probably the closest you get to professional football in college football that you can. So the body of work, the shape he is in, what's in his head and what he's saying, right now, I can't doubt the man that he wants and wants to do well here, and he has an intent and purpose on succeeding. But he's got to take that job away from Jeremiah Masoli.
With Matt Schinetti, in about 60 seconds, Matty, I'll reverse the question or flip the question the other side of the coin. Best case scenario is obvious. He plays and he wins. But what really is in this for the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
That's a great question, Scotty. I can tell you it's incredible leverage because if not only do you see a lot of, even now they're selling tons of jerseys, their social media views went up, but they also now are paying two quarterbacks less than, in total, they're paying two starting quarterbacks, or what they think could be two starting quarterbacks. They're paying them less than what they paid Zach Caleros last year. And with the way the CFL is and how quarterbacks are the most valuable commodity, they could be trading away either Johnny Manziel or Jeremiah Masoli, likely the latter and not the former. Because the way I'm seeing this, as much as June Jones is talking about that Johnny's going to have to earn it, as soon as they see something, and the Ticats told me 6 months ago, they thought Manziel had all the tools, and they were obsessed with how well they thought he could play up here and envisioning what he could do in the Canadian Football League. If he starts to show indications of that, Ticats are going to be, or could be waiving trade pieces and looking at a lot of cap space. This looks like a great opportunity for the Ticats, and really, I don't see any negative, although, again, maybe it's a discussion for another time. There are still a lot of questions I have in terms of how he conducts himself off the field.
Oh, it'll be great to watch. I mean, at the very least, we can say that. Good of you to do this on a holiday Monday, pal. We'll talk soon.
Take care, boys.
Matt Schinetti, at Schinetti TSN, covering the CFL on TSN.